interview with Mrs. Mildred Ward, 640 Cedar Lane, Dinuba, California, by Judith Gannon on 1/19/1981 at 1:30 p.m. Okay, Mrs. Ward, if you would just start out by telling me a little bit about your childhood in Oklahoma, and just feel free to reminisce and recollect as you go along.
Oh, my earliest recollection, I think, was when I was probably 5. I remember we were living in a little tiny 3-room house on the bank of a little creek. Whenever it rained, the water sometimes would get up in our house. And one time I remember we had some baby pigs, and the water got up and they brought the pigs in the house. Well, the pigs got in the bedroom. There was a bed on either side, right close together. One pig got a hold of a quilt on one bed, and one got a hold of a quilt on the other bed, dragged them off in the muddy water. We kids thought it was fun, but Mama didn't.
Okay, go on.
Papa was a farmer, and we were always very poor. They always tried to have a Christmas for us, so I remember one Christmas, the only present that I got was a doll head. That's when we had porcelain heads and hands, and I had broken mine, and they got me a doll head, and the other children some little toy. I mean, we always had an orange and an apple for Christmas. And then, of course, some little candy and nuts in our sack. But I remember looking forward to Christmas for the orange and the apple.
Did your father rent his land, or did he?
Now, he did, yes, for years he rented. And, I guess I was about 12, I think, when he bought a little 80-acre farm. But we were still just about as poor as we were before, because he had a farm to pay for. There were 9 of us kids in the family. It was hard to make a living for us. I remember when the summer that I was 16, and my younger sister was 14. We worked in the fields all summer barefooted. We even shocked grain. And if you know what it is to walk in a stubble field barefoot, you know, that hurts your feet. That summer we had one pair of shoes between us for good, one pair of slippers. And one Sunday, Gertrude got the shoes and got to go to church or visiting wherever. And then I got them the next Sunday. When I was 15, I dropped out of school. I had gone to high school 1 year, but I had to stay away from home and work for my board. I'd get up at 4 o'clock every morning and go to work before I went to school. And the next year, folks tried to get me to go back, but I thought, well, if that's what it's going to take to get an education, to the heck with it. I don't want it. And so I stayed home. I thought, well, I can work in the fields, or I could do housework or something. But when I was 17, was before I was 17, the teacher said, Mildred, why don't you take a teacher's examination and teach school? Then only 9th grade education is all that was required to teach school. So she loaned me some books, and I stayed at home and just studied by myself with no help. And I got to where I wouldn't even go any place with the family. They nearly always go to town on Saturdays, you know. That was our social life, was to go to town on Saturday and meet everybody, because everybody else did too. And I got to where I didn't do that, or I wouldn't go to church with the folks, because I wanted to stay home where it, and study in the quiet, because in a little three-room house with nine kids, there was never any quiet there. But then when I was 17, I passed the examination, I got a school, and started teaching, and things just began to look up, and then the depression came. And that was times were really rough then, in that we didn't have any money. Of course, we'd always been poor before, and most everybody else in the country was poor too. So we didn't feel any stigma or anything, because we were just like everybody else. Then I began teaching. I think it was $75 a month the first year I taught. Well, that was a lot of money then, though.
Yeah.
And then...
what year might that have been?
It was 1925. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that was good money then for a second.
That was, yes. Uh-huh. But now, none of the teachers were any, not many of them, were any better educated than I was then, because they all started out about the same way, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And... Then the Depression came along. Money was hard to get. I know one year I taught, we owed an account at a department store. We owed some groceries and clothes to, I've got a frog in my throat today. And that store, that was in a little town about like, not as big as Dinuba is even. Now, they took my checks the first 3 months, and by that time, I had the account all paid off, and they allowed me $25 a month, each month. So I got a total of $75 that year. Then there was a little country grocery store and filling station. They took the rest of my checks, but it was all in trade only, no money. But we were able to eat and to have gasoline, so that was pretty good.
Yeah. When you say we, were you still living at home?
I was still living at home, and I mean, yes, me and my family at home then.
It was a little different then, wasn't it, with the young person working out, helping a lot with the family and helping with the learning towards.
Yes. Now, I did all the time that I was teaching until I was married. The family, my money was the family's money. Let's put it that way. They just got it if they needed, whoever needed it. I didn't even buy myself expensive clothes. But now, my sister, younger than I am, she taught. I don't want this broadcast, I don't think. And she didn't help family any. She made as much as I did, but she didn't help. But I went ahead and helped as long until I was married. Then I started to tell you, after I traded out my checks for gas and groceries, the next year I went into a different school, different district. There they had the money to pay their teachers, but they only paid me $60 a month for 8 months. That was all I got to work that year.
You mean?
$480 for the year's work.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's right. And then we were married. I was married. I married a boy that lived just next door to the school there. And... well, this is coming away from my childhood, isn't it? But,
okay, go ahead.
He tried to farm. His father was a farmer. He was a farmer, and we borrowed money to buy a team with and seed and a plow, a cultivator, one or two implements. And one year, we paid $100 cash rent. Each year. One year, the drought killed out everything. We had just money, and I made money enough just to pay the rent. And the next year it was a flood. It did the same thing exactly. That's what decided us to come to California. Of course, I could have stayed there and continued to teach, but he didn't want that. Being a young man, he wanted to work too and wanted to earn the money. And we were hearing or reading articles in papers about how many hundreds of workers were wanted out here in this crop someplace, and how many hundreds were wanted in another crop someplace, and so on all over California. We just knew that the work was just there was so much work here that people just couldn't do it because of what we'd been told and what we'd read in the papers. So we decided to come to California, but I didn't come with him the first year. He came out and worked 1 year, and I had a contract to teach school, and I came out and spent the summer here. Then I went back and taught school. Then the following year, we came out to stay. We came here to Dinuba. I had a brother who had come here a year or two before I had. And we had drove an old Chevrolet. All of our belongings were in a little two-wheel trailer pulled behind the car. We even brought our dog along. We had a high chair tied on top of the trailer. We had a flat every day, I think. We stayed in motels on the way, motels that had a kitchen where we cook our supper and our breakfast. My brother and another young man came along with us. They came to go find work, too.
The money that you brought to California with you, did you have a sale, or how did you get the money together to actually make the journey?
Oh, I'd been teaching, see. I was teaching for, I think, about $75 or $80 a month or something like that, so I had a little money. We arrived here with, I think it was $45 in cash, and we owed one car payment yet, $40.
You came right straight to Dinuba.
We came to Dinuba, yes.
And do you recall that was, do you recall anything being harassed along the way by people, or, you know, any events that stand out in your mind during the trip?
No, we were never harassed by people. All the road was just full of people like us coming out here. Mm-hmm. People with their all their belongings tied onto old cars, all over their running boards, and even on tops of their cars, and cars full of kids. Lots of them, most of them had big families of kids. Well, an amusing incident. We had traveled along for several days with one family. There was an old touring car, and there was a whole bunch of kids in there. And, of course, we recognized each other, you know, as we'd pass. So we were down here in California, down the southern end of the valley down here. And we passed them again. And my husband said, "Where are you going?" Because we were both headed up this way. One little boy in the car said, "To California."
That was their destination.
That was their destination, yes. Many people slept out on the way over out here. We'd see them fixing their breakfast out or seem asleep yet, you know. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. We stayed in a motel because we had a little babe. He was about 2 and a half, about 3 years old then, I guess, when we came out here. And we found that the work wasn't to be had like we had thought that it would be, like we'd been led to believe that it would be. And my husband worked, just anything he could get to do. The first job he and Papa did was to tear down an old barn over here by the foothills. And that spring it rained all the time. They could not get work because of the rain.
What year was that?
That was 48, or 38.
38.
Yeah, 38. See, they came out in 37. Jim and my parents came in 37, and then Jim went back in, well, after the work was all over here, and we came out then in 38, spring of 38.
Jim was your first husband?
He's my husband, yeah.
Your current husband?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He just worked at anything he could work at. And when we came to Dinuba, we did come to Dinuba. We lived right on the next street over, just about a block down. We lived there for, 13, 14 years. We moved just a few blocks farther east out that way then, and then 20 years ago we moved here to this house. So we've always been right in this corner of town, even.
You aren't itchy feet people.
No, we're not, huh? Jim would work in packing houses, he'd work in the fields, he worked several summers. He went down to Bakersfield and worked in the potatoes. And then he'd work in any of the harvests that there were here, anything there was to do, packing houses, anything. Now, I didn't work then. I had a baby right after I came out here. And then a few years later, I had another one. In fact, I didn't want to go back to work because I wanted to stay home and be a mother. And the reason I did go back to teaching, though, was because we realized after Twyla's the youngest, and we have three children. Twyla's the youngest, and after she was about 4 or 5 years old, we came to the realization that we would never be able to educate the children just on what he could make, because he couldn't make enough. And we decided then that I would go back to teaching. And that was after the war, and then they would just hire anybody to teach. There was such a shortage of teachers. And so then I did go back to teaching. At first I started out substituting. I thought, I can do that for a little while. And substituted one place, and I was asked if I would like to come back next year. So I told him, yeah, I'd like to come back. I stayed there 24 years.
You are studying instability, I can tell. Very stable people.
Yeah. Yeah, we never moved around in Oklahoma even. My dad didn't much. And he moved in the years, 30 years that before I left home, he had moved, I think, three times. And then
In Oklahoma,
yes. And then we just moved from Oklahoma, where we were living, out here to Dinuba.
So, to just kind of go back to Oklahoma for a second, there was a lot of people have told me about some of the government policies that were hard on the farmers at that time. Did you have any of that kind of experience in Oklahoma?
Not that I recall. I can't recall any.
There's been some mention of the whole soil.
Soil conservation. Yes.
The plowing up crops and the big owners getting paid.
That's right. You're right. Yes.
Did that ever affect you and your husband while you were
there? No, it didn't affect us. We were just little bitty farmers.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching during the time, all through the Depression, I was teaching. And when the government first began to make a survey to to try to help these people, you know. They had the teachers to survey their districts. And, of course, this is rural teachers I'm talking about. I don't know who did in the towns. But I know I had to survey my district to see what people really needed help. And I found one family. Well, I had a little boy and a little girl in school, and I had noticed that at the beginning of the term, they were very intelligent children, very bright. And they just got to be such lackadaisical children. They'd want to sleep in school, you know, and they just couldn't do anything. And I found when I went to their home that those people had one cow. The man had no income. He couldn't find any work. And they would have a dish of mush and cornmeal mush and milk for breakfast. For lunch, they had nothing because the children stayed there at school all the time. And for supper, a dish of mush and milk. Where they got the corn to grind, I don't know. Maybe he had raised it or something, but that was all they were having to eat. And I know she had a baby at that time. And one of the neighbor ladies came to school to get my first aid kit to take over there because there was nothing in that house for, in the way of first aid or anything to use.
To deliver the baby.
To deliver the baby, that's right. All the materials she had, she got from my school.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like your teaching job was the way that you and your husband managed to keep from going hungry during
Uh-huh. And it's the way that my family, before I was married, mm-hmm. it's the way we kept from going hungry, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was teaching then, and I had two grown brothers and my father. They all tried to get on the WPA, but they wouldn't let them get on because I was a wage earner in the family.
You had to have no income whatsoever?
I guess. I don't know. Yet we knew of other people. There was another family who lived down there, and they had three or four little oil wells on their place, and all of that family got on WPA, but my family couldn't. There was a lot of politics in it. It was a government project. Well, so of course there was a lot of politics played.
Yeah. What I gather you're saying is that it was a kind of up for grabs who got onto the
that's
politics.
Right.
And,
I think I think so.
Whoever happened to be in favor with...
That's right. Whoever happened to be in favor or would do things maybe to get in the favor of the government officials, whoever they were.
Mm-hmm. How far did you live from town?
We were 10 miles from town. Now, that's before I was married. I was 10 miles from town. And then after I was married, we were 9 miles farther on.
You were 19 miles out in the country then.
Yeah.
So
about
what did you do on Saturdays and Sundays during that time? What was your social life like? What did you do for recreation?
Our social life was going to town on Saturday and meeting.
That
didn't change much, no. And Sundays we went to church most of the time. If there was a church out there in the country. Now there again, we didn't have church buildings. The churches were all held in the school buildings. And if we could get a minister to go out there and hold meetings, well, we had a church.
Mm-hmm.
If we couldn't get a hold of anybody, well, we didn't.
Didn't have meetings, or did you just meet as a group of people without a minister?
They would try to continue the Sunday school. Sometimes they wouldn't, though. A lot of times they didn't have it. But sometimes they did.
So when you...
When I was young and growing up, we young people would have play parties, every two or three weeks or so. Or something, you know, Saturday nights usually.
Well, What is a play party?
A play party is where we'd play all games where we'd sing. The music, that would be our music, would be singing, and we'd go through different motions, you know, like one of them was Skip to My Lou, and oh, I don't know, I can't think of the others now, but there were several games that we played, we liked to play, and we could get to hold hands that way, you know. And there was one game we could play where sometimes they'd have us to go around the house together. That was fun.
The farms were close enough together that people were able to at least get together once a week.
Oh, yes, there'd be a half mile, 2 miles apart or so on.
To backtrack even a little bit further, you talked about going to school as a youngster and you lived in the country. How far did you have to go to get to school when you went to school yourself?
The closest I ever lived to school was 1.75 miles. I've lived from that distance to 2.5 miles from school.
And you walked to?
We walked to school most of the time. Occasionally when it would rain a whole lot and the everything would be wet and water standing on, I'd drive the wagon, a team to the wagon, and take the kids to school. We'd all go that way.
It sounds like the area that you were in didn't have the gigantic dust storms that...
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we would have dust storms there till we couldn't see. It would be as bad as the fog is here in the valley. When it's at its worst, only the dust is a little different color and it's difficult to breathe. We've had hung sheets over our doors and windows to help to keep out the dust. And we'd go out and we'd put something over our mouth and nose to keep from breathing the dust. And it would be a kind of a yellowish color. It was as dense as this fog now, only a yellowish color. And it would completely hide the sun. Couldn't even tell where the sun was.
When do you remember the dust storms as being really bad? What
year? Oh.
While you were still living at home?
Yes, it was while I was living at home. That's when they were the worst.
Mm-hmm. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we were talking about the dust storms, and you said that was the worst years were... while you were still living at home.
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to California now and tell me a little bit about what your first home here in California was like, here in Dinuba.
My first home was a little cabin out here at the, it's the cabins out west of Dinuba. A little tiny room with just a little tiny offset for a kitchen, just one room. And at first we stayed, my parents were living there, and we stayed there with my parents, and we slept outside. It was in the spring, it was in June, I guess, when we got out here. And but we just ate there with them. Then Jim got a job on a ranch out east of town here, there was an old tank house out there, and we moved in the bottom of that tank house, and our son was 3 years old, and he was so proud of our little house. Every time we'd come into town, he'd say, "Mommy, let's go home to my little house." And it was just the bottom of the tank house, unfinished inside. And then our next one was a little cabin out on a ranch farther east of town here. And now it was all unfinished inside too, but it was a nicer, it was a bigger one. And then he got work, well, I don't know where, but anyhow, we moved into town then, right across over there, in another little house. But it was a slightly better house. It was a house. It had two rooms in it. And,
did the other houses have water and did you have like an outhouse for facilities?
Over at the tank, the cabins out here, we had an outhouse. And yes, when we lived in the tank house. No, I'll take it back. We had a toilet inside the tank house. It had been fixed up for people to live in. And at the other house out on the ranch, we did, too.
What kind of work was your husband doing on the ranch?
It was just farm work. He was grapes or deciduous fruit or whatever there was on the ranch. So that's what he worked in. Just did the work that had to be done. He's done all kinds of work here, Nellie. And then we moved into the little house down over here on this street, and we lived there for a couple of years, I guess, and we moved a little farther down on that same street, and we stayed there 13 years.
So it sounds like you weren't one of the families that followed the crops.
No, we didn't follow the crops. Now, there were a lot of them who did. Some of our friends who came out here, they followed the crops all the time, but we didn't. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to stay put.
What part of the year was your husband able to find work? Did he generally able to find something all year around, or were there long periods of
the life? First year we came here, no, he wasn't able to find anything much in the winter time. He would maybe pick up little jobs now, maybe it wouldn't be but a half day or a day or something, you know. He has done yard work, and he's just done practically everything that he was capable of doing. And he's worked in packing houses finally he got to working for a lumber company out here. It's now Wicks. He worked there, and lots of times he would have to go down south of Bakersfield and work in the mountains down there. And then for years, too, he'd work up here in the mountains. He was the dynamite man. He'd do the blasting where they were building roads for the lumbering. And he worked for them and that company until he retired.
Yeah. The house that you bought here in town, was that, did you, or you bought that house, you didn't rent?
We bought. Now, we rented, though, for a number of years. Rented, and we were able to buy, we bought one, it was just outside the city when we bought it. That was just another little bitty house, three rooms, but at least it was ours,
mm-hmm.
And we built onto it then later.
What did you use, or how did you manage when your husband, like in that first year, when the jobs were so few and far between, how did you...
We just managed. We ate beans, and we ate oatmeal for breakfast, and lots of times that'd be all we'd have, be biscuits and oatmeal for breakfast, or beans or potatoes for supper and dinner. It was rough.
Yeah,
it was rough for everybody then.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
There was so much unemployment here did you know of a lot of families that had to turn to public agencies?
Yes, there were a lot of them who did.
What seemed to be the general feeling about that?
The people generally were very proud, and they hated to get any kind of assistance. They wanted to make it on their own. We didn't come here to get a handout. We came here to work then, and the majority of the people did. The majority of them, they didn't want any kind of assistance. Now, there was one family I knew of, though. They'd come out here every summer. They had a big family. They'd come out and work. And when the work was all over, why, they'd go down someplace and they'd get money to buy gasoline or tires or even children's coats, go back home. And then the next spring, they were right back out here again to work. That was just one that I knew of. Yeah. Did it.
You were able, though, during that time to stay at home with your youngsters when you...
Yes, but, yeah, I was. There I did, I did a few ironings, and I took in some washings, and I did a little sewing for people. I did anything I could get to do. Other than teach.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like those were years when the paychecks got to be pretty small and far between.
Yes, they were. One time, I had been feeding tramps that would come by, and one morning, one tramp came to the door and he wanted something to eat. Well, we had eaten breakfast just not very long before that, and we had some biscuits left over. And I said, well, I've got some cold biscuits left over. You're welcome to have them. And you know, he wouldn't take them. He wanted me to give him some coffee. And not a cup of coffee to drink, coffee to take with him. Well, I wouldn't do it, because coffee was too hard to come by. And I quit feeding tramps after that. I thought, well, if they just wouldn't eat biscuits the same as we did, they could just do without.
Yeah.
And I quit feeding them, and it wasn't but a little while until they quit stopping there. I guess they learned I'd quit feeding them.
When, during this time, what kind of reception did you get from the local California people? What was it like to be a migrant during that time?
Wasn't too pleasant sometimes. Now a lot of people were kind and good as they could be and nice to us, very much, but some of them weren't. I even had a minister. His sermon one Sunday morning was about the migrants. And during the course of his speech, he said that we just find it virtually impossible to integrate these people into our Western culture. And my son, now you see, he was about 3 when we came out here, and after he started to school, oh, he's maybe 6, 7, 8 years old or so, he'd come home and tell me that kids called him a dumb Okie. Well, now, the kids didn't know what they were saying. I'm not blaming the children at all, but they'd heard it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't very good sometimes.
Yeah. What was it like? What in the church that you went to? Were there other incidences of things like the minister said, or did you feel like
I didn't go long enough? I didn't go there very long. Well, in fact, I didn't go there any after that.
Yeah, I would guess.
Huh? No, at that place, the people, they weren't friendly. I had decided before I ever heard him say anything like that, I knew they weren't friendly people. But maybe it's just, as some of the more influential people in town belong to that church. Now, that's probably the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did go there anymore. I would go to another church.
So you were talking about the people weren't very friendly in that particular church that you started out going to. So did you just stop going to church, or was there another place that you...
I stopped for a long time.
What other kinds of incidences do you remember of that, where there, you felt that being from Oklahoma was being used against you?
I can't recall any other incidents except after I began teaching. Now there was one teacher who said, she made a derogatory remark about all the people with the emergency credentials, and that's what I had, you know, then when I started teaching. I had just, I think I just had 1 year of college by the time I came out here. And I know she said she just wished they didn't have any people like that teaching here, and I know I felt badly about that. Well, and there was another girl at school too. She heard her, and she was from the Midwest, and she was teaching on an emergency credential, so she felt it too.
When did you get your year of college?
In Oklahoma, after I started teaching, I went to summer schools and to pre-sessions and post-sessions and took correspondence courses until I got the year's college that way. Sometimes we'd have a cotton-picking vacation, not the kind Ernie Ford talks about, but really, we'd stop when the cotton was ready to pick, or school would stop for about 5 or 6 weeks, let the children pick cotton, and then I would get in 5 or 6 units, however many weeks I could go to school in.
So that's when you were married, but before you had children?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, because I started teaching before I was married.
Right, but did you teach when you had, you when you came to California, you had one child, a youngster.
Yes.
Had you taught then in Oklahoma after you had him, or did you...
Yes, I taught. And that was one of the reasons I was wanting to quit teaching, was because I could not find a suitable babysitter. But of course I couldn't pay them anything. I pay them about 2.5 a week for babysitting 5 days. So and then it was out in the country too, where I had to take just whomever I could get.
There's been a lot of discussion of other people that I have talked with about the way that the growers were toward their workers, that some of them felt that the big growers took advantage of their workers. Did you ever have any experience or any knowledge of anything like that?
Well, now I didn't, because I didn't work much. I did pick grapes too, and just work around, as I said, but I didn't work for any growers. But there was one incident when we lived on a ranch out in the country. The man fixed up the cabin, and he went ahead. He was talking to the man that was there working one day. Oh, what a fine little cabin it was. And he would love to have this cabin in the mountings. And just went on and on and on about what a fine cabin it was since he got it fixed up. Well, I resented it. So I said, well, if you think it's so fine, why don't you live in it then? But... Maybe he didn't mean it the way I thought he did, but I took it to mean that he felt that I should be proud to live in that now since he'd fixed it up. He may not have thought it at all. But
what about when your husband worked for some of the growers or the ranchers? Did he ever feel like just this morning, one man was telling me how they, when they weighed the cotton, that unless you kept a really close eyeball on them, that you were likely to get shorted on the amount of cotton that you got credited for.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever remember your husband talking about that?
No, now, he never picked cotton. Of course, the work that he did, most of the work he did, I think, was hourly work. So that wouldn't have affected him at all. But I had heard that about the cotton pickers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems to be, you know, fairly, I've heard it a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like your husband was not, didn't really ever work the crops, that he worked more doing labor around the ranch, kinds of things. Am I misunderstanding?
Well, yes. Now, he never picked cotton. I don't believe he ever picked oranges. He picked olives, I know, when they first came here. Picked up olives, rather. Yeah, he didn't get out and he never picked grapes very much. I picked a lot more grapes than he did.
Who did you pick grapes for? You say you didn't pick for the growers. Who?
I picked for the whoever lived around here. This used to be a vineyard. I'd pick grapes right here where this house is. Yes, I worked for growers in that respect.
Uh-huh. Just. How did they treat you? What was your feeling about that?
Well, really, I wasn't around them much. They were never around. It was usually a contractor that would be out in the field.
I see. How were they to work for?
Well, they were all right so far as I knew. I didn't have any complaints. Of course, I didn't work very much now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't feel like they talk about the cotton, that you really had to keep your...
Oh, no.
Time to
no.
Take advantage if they had a chance.
No,
Okay. What about if you got sick during that time? What kind of medical...
You went to the county hospital. My oldest daughter was born in the county hospital. And then I had some minor surgery in the county hospital. That's where I was.
Mm-hmm. How about your youngest child? Was that a county hospital?
No. She was born here in this hospital.
What did you feel like it was like to get medical treatment in a county place?
I resented it very much. I was ashamed that I had to. And frankly, I didn't think the care wasn't what it should have been. For instance, I had the baby, and then I had stitches afterwards, and no anesthetic of any kind was given, not even for those stitches. And there were several women having babies there in the hospital. It was crowded, and they had put me out in the hall, and I went to screaming when the baby was coming. I went to screaming. They rushed me into the delivery room right quick and rushed another woman out of the delivery room. And then the nurse, the doctor wasn't available there, I guess, and the nurse grabbed my knees and held them together until the doctor got in there and wouldn't let the baby come. The baby was coming,
uh-huh.
But then she grabbed my knees. That was not right. That was not good.
No.
And then all of that with no anesthetic, but then that wasn't as bad as the stitches. I had 3 stitches and no anesthetic, and that hurt.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that it did. What did you think the attitude of the people at the county hospital was towards you? Did you get any feeling that you were treated any different than say somebody else that didn't come from Oklahoma or Arkansas?
Well, I don't know whether there were any other people at the county hospital, people who lived here. I don't know whether they went to the county hospital or not. I wasn't very well acquainted then. But I know that quite a lot of them were. And there was those and Mexicans mostly at the county hospital at the time that my daughter was born. Some of the nurses were just like in any other hospital. Some of them were very good and kind. And we had one nurse that was a stinker there. Mm-hmm. None of us liked her. Mm-hmm. And you get those in most any hospital you're in.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Any profession.
Yeah, that's right, any profession.
Right. What was your social life like? When you got here to California, what kinds of things did you do for entertainment?
We didn't have any social life. We would play cards some, and within my family, see, I had my brother and my parents were here, and we were here. Well, I had two brothers here. And then I read a lot to the family. I spent a lot of time reading to the family. We'd check books out of the library, and other than that, we had none. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any money to have any kind of a social life. Socializing takes a little money, no matter what you do, and we didn't have it.
Did you find that you got acquainted with people pretty rapidly after you moved out here? Like, I know that it must have been hard to socialize when you were out on the ranch. There probably weren't too many other people.
No, there weren't.
But when you moved back to town, did you find that mostly your friends were also people that came from Oklahoma? Or that migrated?
Yes, we sort of got together. Mm-hmm. that's who you would want to be with.
Felt like that there wasn't too much, or that there was some feeling by the...
We had kindred feelings.
Mm-hmm. And the townspeople, what were the townspeople like? Now, when you moved to town off the ranch, about what year was that?
Well, see, we came out in 38. Oh, probably 40, 41, or two, along there.
Did you feel like the townspeople at that point were beginning to be more accepting of you, or was it still, did you still feel like it wasn't?
No, we still felt the hostility. You see, the times were very, very bad then. Yet, mm-hmm. they were very bad. Mm-hmm. Even when we came here to this town, there were so many people had been unable to pay their taxes, and the houses had just been moved out. There was just a lot of vacant places here, vacant lots here in Dinuba at that time we came here.
They just took the house and put it someplace?
They'd move the houses someplace else. I don't know where, but there was just a lot of vacancies here, vacant lots and vacant places.
So you felt like there was the town feeling was that the migrants were taking jobs from them.
That's, I'm sure they felt that. I'm sure that just like we do now about the Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they must have felt the same way.
That makes brings up another thought about the people that your husband worked with, or that you, when you did work in the grape fields, the vineyards, were they mostly white crews, or were the crews...
White.
Mostly white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh.
Well, there weren't very many Mexicans here at that time.
What about black?
No. This town has never had over one or two black people living here ever since I've been here.
I don't know what are the big crops right here around Anuba?
Grapes.
Not even when the grapes need harvested?
No. 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 When I began teaching Orange Cove in 47, I think, we would have only maybe one or two Mexican children in each room. Some rooms would not have any. And now the school is about 55% Mexican, they say.
The white families who were harvesting in the grape fields at that time, now you lived right here, did their kids go to school here in Dinuba, or did they work in the fields right along with them, or what?
The children then could work in the fields. There was no law against it at all. But the grapes were usually harvested by the time school started or shortly after. Mm-hmm. And you'd see grapes, all families out in the vineyards harvesting the grapes.
Mm-hmm. So although your family didn't, because your experience is a little bit different in that you remained in one place, but the mm-hmm. other families did go with the entire family and into the vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Is there anything else that you can think of? We've gotten now through the time of your arrival and what it was like here in California. Can you think of any other anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to bring up?
No, not that I can think of now.
What was your first impression of California after having lived in Oklahoma? What did you think that life was going to be like in California, and what was your first impression of the way that it was?
Well, my first impression was the desert, and I thought, my goodness, this is not what I thought California was. Of course, I knew it would be different up here in the valley. Well, I was, in a way, I was glad to be here, because at that time, I thought that it would be so easy to get work, you know. All you had to do was just get out and ask for it, and you'd get the work. I didn't realize what it was really like.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that it must have been a big disappointment for you coming, thinking that this was going to be a place that you could really do better, and it turned out that's really not the way it was.
Yes, it was. And at home, we were some of the leading or outstanding people in the community. My father was in our community. Everybody looked to Papa for things, for advice and help and so forth. And in Jim's community, everybody looked to Mr. Ward for the same thing, the same reason. They were both outstanding men, and we had been of those families, and then where we were kind of looked up to and at least respected, and come out here to this where we were nothing.
Well, that was a real change.
That was a change, too.
This is an interview with Mrs. Mildred Ward for the California State College, Bakersfield, California, Odyssey Project, done by Judith Gannon on January 24, 1981, at Dinuba, California. Mrs. Ward, during the late 30s, John Steinbeck published a novel called The Grapes of Wrath, and there was a lot of talk, and it really created quite a fervor at that time. I wonder what you thought about that book. Did it seem to depict the life of the migrant to California fairly accurately?
Yes, most generally it did. There were exaggerations in it, of course, about the old somebody dying on the road and being buried by the side of the road. I don't think that ever happened. But really, it was largely true to life.
Mm-hmm. There was times were that bad for many of the people. They were bordering on the verge of starvation.
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Was your experience wasn't really that close to that, or was it?
It wasn't very far removed from that.
Really?
We didn't have very much money. We arrived here with, I think, $40 or $45, and we owed a car payment when we got here. And work wasn't as plentiful as we thought it would be.
You mentioned last week that you had actually seen flyers and things advertising for workers in California?
I did, yes. And articles in the newspapers.
Where do you think those came from, since when you got here it wasn't at all like that?
They probably came from those large corporate farmers, I imagine. And then, too, the workers were just beginning to organize a little bit. There was talk of organization, and of course those big farmers didn't want the laborers organized, and it was to their advantage to have a lot of people out here to work.
Mm-hmm. When you say that the laborers were beginning to organize, can you tell me whatever you heard or know about what went on?
No, I didn't really hear anything. I've just read that they were beginning to organize at that time.
As far as around here at Dinuba, there was never any labor strikes or violence due to attempts to organize or anything?
No,
like
not at that time. Huh?
Not at any time during the time that you lived in this area?
Well, now I've lived in this area ever since I came out of here.
During that,
I don't think there was any attempt to organize then around here.
So, as far as labor problems and that kind of thing, Dinuba has been fairly calm.
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. You can ask Jim about that. He was the laborer. I was a stay-at-home man, mostly.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you had done some research into this period yourself. Is there anything that stands out in your mind that you would like to share as that you learned from your research, or something that when you were doing research didn't quite fit with what you had experienced at the time that you were...
The thing that I remember that was so interesting at the time, that 80% of the people who came here from the Midwest were still at that time living in the county in which they arrived, and 50% of them were still living in the same town.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of shows that most of them wanted a permanent kind of...
They wanted, yes, that's right. They wanted to work and they wanted to establish homes.
What brought about your decision to do some research into this? How did that all come about?
Well, I was in college and I had to do a paper on something. I had to do research on something. And to me, that was an interesting subject. Mm-hmm. So that's what I chose. And I was glad that I did, because I think the following year then, I was in a speech class in which I had to make a long speech. And I used that information in my speech, mm-hmm. too. Yeah, kill two birds with one stone.
Did the reading that you did, did that pretty much back up the experience that you had, the research? It was the history that you looked into was pretty accurate in the way that...
Yes, and I learned too that all of the people from there did not come to California. They were migrating all around to the north for years, I guess, and yet too. They would go north, they'd follow the grain fields north up into Canada, they would go east over to Arkansas and over there and work in the fields, in the fruit. They would go to the south and work in the cotton fields, and they would go on up to the north. They just went all around.
Yeah, I think the Californians had the idea that the whole world was trying to get into California.
I think they did.
It wasn't quite accurate.
No, it wasn't.
Do you ever remember hearing anybody talk about incidents at the border where people were turned back when they tried to come to California?
I don't recall.
Yes, I've heard it. I never did know it to be true. Mm-hmm.
Did hear or know of anybody that actually was turned back?
No.
Or anything like that? Okay. Do you ever go back to Oklahoma?
Yes. We've been back many, many times. As long as his parents lived, we went back, at least every 2 years, and sometimes, two or three years, and since then, we go back every 3 or 4 years. We were back there last fall.
Do you still have family? Both of you still have family back there?
I have a brother and a sister back there and jillions of cousins and nieces and nephews. He has two sisters and a lot of nieces and nephews.
So there's still a real pull to go back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
Yes.
One of the questions that I've been asking, and it's interesting because you get lots of different kinds of feelings, is what did you think about being called an Okie? What do you think how does that strike you?
I didn't like it too well because it denoted something that was not quite right or friendly, or it was derogatory, I felt.
Mm-hmm. What was the derogatory part of it? What did you think it what kind of a connotation was there that you didn't like?
That they were felt that we were dumb, ignorant. In fact, when our son started to school here, he came home several times and told me the kids had called him a dumb Okie because he was born there.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even know what an Okie was.
Did your kids go to school right here in Tanuba with the local kids? In some places they actually separated out the migrant people and kids and put them in a school one place and the local kids in a school another place.
No, ours were all together here. I didn't know they did that.
Yes,
anywhere.
They did. In fact, right as close as Tipton and Porterville and
really?
There was segregation of the kids in the schools.
Well, I had never heard that. Of course, then we didn't take a daily paper. We couldn't afford to.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that may not have been something they wanted to publish.
Well, they wouldn't have, no.
Yeah. What do you think is the thing that most affected you or had an effect on you of living through this experience of the migration? Do you think that it had any long-term effect on you, and if so, what?
I don't know that it had any long-term effect on me. I really don't know. I know I was determined to live it down. So I guess it did.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to prove that
I wanted
a lot of these stereotypes that they had about the people coming in were not.
That's right.
Were not true.
And I know when I began teaching, I wanted to prove that an Okie teacher could be just as good, if not better, than any other teacher could.
So my guess is then that you probably work twice as hard at being a good teacher than anybody else. Huh?
Probably, because I sure worked at it. And I think I did have a good reputation. That sounds boastful, I know, but it's the truth.
Well, it's okay if, you know, I think that if you've done a good job at something, it's okay to be proud about it.
Well, I'm proud of what I've done.
I think that's good. Do your children live here around the Dinuba area, or have they?
No, they've all moved away. Our youngest daughter lives in Fresno, and she's the social worker. And the son lives in Arcadia, you know, that's down south. He's an industrial arts teacher in the L.A. schools. And the daughter lives in Fountain Valley, and she's a teacher.
Oh, it sounds like you made very sure that your kids got an education.
We did. That's the reason I began teaching after we came out here, is because we knew that on his salary or his income, we could not educate the kids. And that's what we wanted to do above all else. And in fact, our son graduated from Reedley College over here the same night that I graduated from Fresno State.
Oh, isn't that something? When was that? What year was that?
What year was it, Jim? 40, no. No, it wasn't 40. Because I started teaching in 47,
yeah,
8.
High school in 53.
Be 56, huh?
55.
Yeah, 55, I guess it was, or 56.
So you started teaching in the 40s and went back to school part-time to get your degree?
Yes. Now, you see, I had taught in Oklahoma. Started in 25.
Right. I know you said you had a year of college there.
11 years, yeah. I had a year of college before I left there. Then I started teaching here and going to school, summer schools and correspondence courses and night schools and weekends until I got my degree.
And you got your degree in 55, did you say? 50.
Was it 55?
I don't remember.
55, 56, I believe.
That must have been a happy moment for you.
Yes, it was.
For a lot of hard work.
Yes.
Full-time and trying to go to school.
Yeah, it was, and a long time.
Mm-hmm. If you look back over the whole experience of living through the time of the Depression and the migration and the 40s, what time would you say was, what period was the most difficult? What time was the hardest?
Well, I think it was after we came out here.
First
2 or 3 years after we were here. That was the most difficult.
Mm-hmm. And that was mainly because of
steady work.
We didn't have work, and we had a baby, and I had to go to the county hospital to have the baby, and I didn't like that, and we just didn't have any money at all.
What was the turning point? When did things start to look up?
I think they didn't begin to look up until after the war started. And then work began to pick up. People began to go to the factories, and there was more work for people here.
Good. Work all the time,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Is there anything that you would like to say, or any event or Anything that you thought of since I last saw you that you would like to mention that I may have forgotten to ask you about?
Yes. During the time that they were killing all of the hogs and the cattle for the farmers, because the meat didn't sell because it was the prices were high.
Back when you were
that was in yeah when I was in Oklahoma, and this was before I was married.
Okay, so
too.
What year about?
33
Yeah, 33 or 34 The government cooked up the idea of killing off these animals and paying those farmers or ranchers so much a head, you know. And we lived near some big ranches. There were several big pastures near where we lived. And they would just kill the animals and just leave them lay out in the pastures, you know, to rot. So I bought a pressure cooker for Mama to use because they had no money, and I was teaching and I did have money, so that they could go out into the pastures and they'd build up a fire out there and take the cooker out there, and Papa would cut out the best chunks of meat, and they would can it right there in the pastures. And incidentally, I still have the cooker that I bought then, and I've still used it all through these years because I've always canned a lot.
Was that, were people permitted to do that, or did
yes, they could do it. They didn't care about that, no.
They just didn't want the farmer to sell.
That's right. See, they'd paid the farmer, yeah, so much ahead. I don't remember how much it was, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why don't I go on and talk to your husband a little while, and then if there's anything that you think about, we have a little bit of time left on this tape, then we can go back and finish up with you.
Okay.